Chapter 1. Mama's voice is rough and low. When she speaks to strangers on the telephone, they call her sir. I guess it must be surprising to some people, the way her voice sounds, because she's so beautiful. Just about the prettiest woman you've ever seen. But I think it suits her just fine. I love the way her rough voice vibrates through the air like a beat on a drum. She sings around the house. Under her breath, since people say her voice is so ugly all the time. Why you wanna fly a blackbird? That's the song that's stuck in my head now. You ain't ever gonna fly. My dad's blue boat is flipped upside down in the backyard, which isn't really a yard, but a grove of dead trees and frogs that won't shut up at night. And the mangrove is just close enough to the water, so when it's time to go, I can get out of here with a quickness that will surely inspire the speed of light. My dad hasn't so much as looked at that boat in exactly 1 year and 3 months, which is the time that our lives revolve around 1 year and 3 months ago. The boat's ready, and I'm ready. More ready than ever to get off this dumb rock. But I can't leave yet, because I don't know where to go. But once I do, I leave that second without even a goodbye. So I turn my back on my father's boat and walk through the dead mangrove, brown water smelling like something besides the trees died. Mosquitoes so thick in the air, they might as well be puffs of smoke. Dead palms from coconut trees covering the ground like hairy carcasses. I get to the clearing, to the white road covered with dust and gravel and designs of tire marks, to my dad's house that's right there on the edge of the sea, waiting patiently for the day a wave will come and wash it away. When I was really little, before I started going to school, when I could barely walk without holding my mom's hand, my mom would leave Water Island whenever she needed to go to St. Thomas for groceries and for church, and she always took me with her. The two of us went on a speedboat owned by Mr. Lochana. There was a ferry on the other side of Water Island that could take us to St. Thomas for $10. But Mr. Lochana only charged us $5. He was an Indian man that come all the way from Tobago, though everyone thought he'd come from Trinidad and called him Mr. Trini. I don't know how Mr. Lochana felt about that, but I would have corrected each and every single one of them. When I told him so, he laughed. "To be a child and to be passionate, eh?" he said to my mom. I asked him, "Does that mean adults aren't passionate about anything?" Mama told me to hush and sit quiet. I was too little to be running my mouth. I liked that it was just the three of us. And I liked to look over the side of the speedboat, too. I could see the striped yellow and red paint from the boat's side reflected in the clear water. Could see the pink coral and stingray. And one day, there was even a fish as big as me. Mr. Lochana said it was a nurse shark. And my mom grabbed me and held me so tight I couldn't breathe. Even though Mr. Lochana promised us nurse sharks don't bite. One Sunday morning, a wave bumped Mr. Lochana's boat high into the air. And when it landed again, I fell straight into the water. Since it was Sunday morning, I was wearing a church dress heavy with lace and fake pearls. I fell faster than an anchor. And after I was pulled out again and dragged onto St. Thomas's concrete, I thought about the bubbles that were bigger than my mom's head. The smoky light that made it hard to see if another nurse shark was coming. The coral that scratched my knees. The woman that was standing on the ocean floor. She was black. Blacker than black. Blacker than even me. Rough hands yanked me out of the water and hit my chest over and over again until I could breathe. "You were under there for over a minute, child," Mr. Lochana said when I'd...